Our scripture reading this morning is from Colossians 4, 1 through 6. Master, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourself to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. And pray for us, to that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way to act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So this morning, here in Galatians, the first verse, masters, provide your slaves for what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. That first verse says a lot to me. Because in this country, we don't think of having slaves or masters in this country. But yet we do. In the morning, I will go to work at 5 o'clock, and I've got a boss. And he's got a boss, and he's got a boss. And those bosses have a boss because the company I work for is publicly traded. So those people that own that stock are the bosses of the company. We all have a boss. Heard a joke this week talking about a pastor. Pastor asked all the men in the congregation to move to their left if they were controlled by their wives. And all but one man moved to the left. And the pastor was really proud. And he was proud that there was one man that could stand up. And so he asked the man, he said, "Sir, why didn't you move?" He goes, "Because my wife told me not to." We all have masters. So that verse says a lot to me. But if we go down even further to verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. You know, that says a lot to me too. Devote yourself to prayer. My life did not change until I really started praying. Things changed for me when I started to pray. But we go on down in these verses. It says, verse 2, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Being watchful and thankful. We don't realize sometimes the small things, and we're not thankful for the small things a lot of times. I heard it said that a pastor went to a house for a meal, and the mother set the table, and all of a sudden the kids started eating, and she scolded them to wait, and she said, "Pastor, we don't always say grace," and you know, she was embarrassed by that. And then she said, "We take for granted that God knows that we're thankful." And the pastor then replied, Are you sure that you are thankful for what he has provided? We go on down to verse 3. And pray for us too, that God may open doors for all our messages, so that we may proclaim the mystery of faith, or mystery of God, or Christ. The mystery of Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. We need to be able to proclaim that. And by doing that, whether we do it in a restaurant and just show that we're praying, shows that we're Christians. I stand up here in front of you and I wear a suit. One of the reasons why I wear a suit to church is because that's the way I was raised. I was raised where every man wore a suit and every woman wore a dress. I'm not saying that's the way it should be. I'm saying that's the way I was raised. That's one reason. The second reason is, when I drive up here, we usually stop at McDonald's or Wendy's and we get a little breakfast on the way up. And I'm not dressed in a golf t-shirt or shorts. I'm dressed in a suit. Those people know where I'm going. I don't have to say anything. They know where I'm going. When I leave here today with my wife, we'll probably stop and buy some fuel. And I'll go into the convenience store. They'll know where I've been. I don't have to say a word. A lot of times, we don't have to say things. We don't have to go out and proclaim things. We just have to show it. The problem is in today's world, Christians have got a lot of bad names. Because Christians today are said to be very mean and hateful, and that we don't get along. I don't see that, but I see love in a Christian. But that's the reputation that Christians have, is we don't accept people. And we should. You know, Christ accepted the woman at the well for who and what she was. And that's the way we need to be, and that's the way we need to show ourselves. We need to be able to proclaim the mystery of Christ. There's an old saying that you get more, or you get further with honey than you do vinegar. And the problem is that a lot of people want to say that Christians aren't loving. And there's a lot of Christians that aren't. Last night, my wife and I were in Walmart. A lady comes walking down the aisle and my wife says, "Like your t-shirt." And I said to my wife after passed, "What did your t-shirt say?" "My tattoos don't like you either." You know? So as Christians, we need to show the love of Jesus Christ. My wife just liked that t-shirt. But what it did was it showed that somebody else could think that was funny. That they could show that there was a sense of humor in it. But I'm sure that there's a lot of people that don't like tattoos. Quite frankly, I'm not a tattoo person. But if you want one, I don't have a problem with it. But for me, I'm just not. But we as Christians need to show love. And we need to show acceptance. We need to pray We need to pray that we accept people for who and what they are. Not just the way we want them to be, the way we want them to dress, the way we want them to act. We can only get so far. But I also heard a story about a man. He's a preacher. And he was not a preacher at that time. He was going to seminary. And he was working for a company on the side. He absolutely just going to school and working and everything. It was getting to be Easter time. And something just told him, I need to go in and talk to this man that I know is an atheist and invite him to church on Sunday. And so he did. He went and invited this man to church, and the atheist said, you know I'm an atheist. You know I'm not going to come to church. Why are you doing this? He said, because something told me to. He said, the Holy Spirit told me I needed to invite you to church. And it was 4 or 5 years later, the man had become a preacher and had his church. And this young man came up to him and said, Pastor, he says, I want to let you know that you changed my life. And he goes, how did I change your life? What did I do? He said, well, you see, several years ago, you came in and invited a gentleman that was an atheist to church. What you didn't know was I was down on my hands and knees behind the counter working down there, and you didn't see me. And he said, your love and compassion got me to thinking, I needed to go to church. I needed to go. And he said, I went home. I told my wife, we're going to church this Easter. And he said, we've went every Sunday since. And he said, my wife and I have given our lives to Christ, and my 3 children have given their lives to Christ. One person asking somebody else to go to church changed 5 people's lives. That's all it takes. Is just asking. Letting the Lord do the work. We cannot. All we can do is open our mouths and ask. As Paul is writing this, he's in prison for doing just that. In verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. We should pray that we proclaim the mystery of faith loud and clear. Be in 5, be wise in the ways that you act towards others. Make the most of every opportunity. We need to take every opportunity to proclaim the mystery of Christ to others. Because we know we have been changed. I have been changed. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He's my master. Now, I'm not perfect. Lord knows I'm not perfect. I deal with things every day that I'm not perfect in. But the Lord knows that. The Lord knows what my imperfections are, and He can use my imperfections. Because my imperfections are what shows God's glory. And He can use your imperfections as well. Verse 6, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Seasoned with salt. I always wondered what that meant. For me, seasoned with salt, I love watermelon. I love watermelon. The one thing I love to do is put salt on watermelon. Brings out the flavor. And what this verse to me is saying is just that. Be seasoned. Bring out the flavor. Bring out the truth. Bring out the glory of God. But also it says something else. That salt was used to preserve food back there. Means to hold back. To hold back your tongue. Say, think about what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. So that your words have meaning and not just out in space. So this scripture, this portion of scripture, to me, really means a lot to me. We need to pray. And the more we pray, the more we learn about God, about Christ, about the Holy Spirit. And when we listen to the Holy Trinity, when we listen, sometimes we hear things that we don't want to do. Just like the man that didn't want to go in and talk to an atheist about Christ and coming to church. But he did it. He listened to that Holy Spirit. And because he listened to that Holy Spirit, five people were brought to Christ. What if he wouldn't have? What if he would not have? What would have happened? See, Christ puts us in positions where we don't know what we've done. A lot of times we never know. We're there to plant the seed. Christ is there to water it, give it nutrition, give it sunshine, and let that seed grow. We may never see that, but all we're supposed to do is plant that seed and let God do the rest. If you'll pray with me, please. Lord, Heavenly Father, we know we need to pray more often. We need to pray without ceasing. We know we need to listen to your word and to you. Whether it is sitting in a room and just silent meditating, or whether it's going out for a walk in the woods and listening to your animals, or whether it's coming up to the altar and praying and listening to you. We know that we need to pray more and listen more. As the saying goes, we have two ears and one mouth. We need to heed that. In the Lord's name we pray, amen.